Hello and welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with authors and artists about baseball books, music, film, pretty much anything you can fit on a bookshelf. And that's the slogan, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. Memory was the time I spent at Yankees Fantasy Camp in 2009. The team was hosting its first program for observant Jews, and I covered it for my newspaper, the New Jersey Jewish News, as well as a few other outlets. As you might have seen from the video on the sidebar to this blog, I compared the dynamic there to that of sleepaway camp, which, in a way, it was. That was my only time at Fantasy Camp, and I marveled at some of my fellow campers who've been to several of these gigs. I couldn't have gone if the Yankees hadn't played host in exchange for the publicity, and my wife hadn't given me the transportation. Remember, these cost several thousands of dollars a pop, and that doesn't include the memorabilia, the photos, the videos, the souvenirs. That's a big part of it. It was therefore with a sense of curiosity and nostalgia that I read Roy Berger's memoir, The Most Wonderful Week of the Year, about his time at a few of these camps. I may not have a lot in common with some of the other authors with whom I've chatted for previous podcasts, but I found a kindred spirit, Lanzmann, as we say in Yiddish, in Berger. Here's our conversation.
Roy Berger, welcome to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Thanks, Ron. An absolute pleasure to be here today.
So, your book, The Most Wonderful Week of the Year, is about your experiences at how many fantasy camps?
I've done actually six right now. It takes into account my first four, which were two Pirates, a Yankees, and a throwaway Tigers camp.
Now, where did you go first?
I went actually first to the Pirates in 2010. It was the 50th anniversary of the 1960 World Championship team, which was actually my earliest baseball memory. I grew up in Long Island as a Pirate fan because my dad was a Pirate fan. I got it honest, like they say down south. And as I was searching to begin this camp process in 2009, I'm a Yankee fan. So the thing that intrigued me initially was obviously to go to Yankee camp. And when I researched some of the guys that were going to be there, there was a guy by the name of Neil Allen. Well, I never heard of Neil Allen, and I wasn't going to spend $5,000 for the privilege of playing baseball with Neil Allen, who I come to find out actually was a kind of a utility pitcher that bounced around from team to team over the years. So I grew up a Pirate fan in the 50s and 60s in New York, and as a lark, I went to the Pirates website, and I couldn't believe what I saw. I mean, it was going to be the 50th reunion of the 1960 World Champions, Bill Mazeroski, Bill Verdon, Vernon Law, Bob Skinner, Bob Friend. I mean, these guys were my heroes. They were bigger than life. And I was going to get the opportunity to spend a week with them. I couldn't believe it. So my first camp was 2010 with the Pirates. And basically, I was going to do it once and be done with it. And I just finished my sixth camp.
Now, you talk about all these heroes that when you first went down there, and how did they... Now, you were at the Yankees camp. I was at a Yankees camp once, so I know how that works. How does it work when you get down? Did you go by yourself, or did you go?
I did. I went by myself. I didn't even think about asking anybody to go with me. And, you know, I got a hold of a guy named Joe Bilodeau, who's the Pirates camp director, and I said, listen, you know, I'm 57 years old. I can hardly throw the ball. I don't know if I can hit. Will I fit in? He said, you'll fit in just fine. I'm not sure if that was the answer I really wanted to hear or not. So I went out to a batting cage, and you know, the first couple of balls that were thrown at me, I actually hit. I sent in a check. I went down there. I was scared to death. I go into the opening cocktail party in January of 2010, and I'm not a guy that's shy, and I'm not a guy that freezes, but oh, standing maybe 20 feet behind me was Bill Mazeroski, my hero. I couldn't believe it. And Ron, I absolutely froze. I couldn't go up and say hello to him. I just didn't know what to do. I mean, this guy was bigger than life. Now, if you live in Pittsburgh or grow up in Pittsburgh, Mazeroski has a pretty high profile. But, you know, being from New York and living around the country and being maybe in Pittsburgh twice in my whole life, I mean, to me, he still was bigger than life. So we go through the opening night, and one of the guys says to me, this is like a drug, you'll see. And I said, no way, I'm doing it once, and that'll be the end of it. Well, you know the rest of that story. So I went back back up to my room, which actually happened to be in the dorm at Pirate City, and I was really, really angry at myself that I didn't go over and say hello to Maz. So the next morning, they have what they call an evaluation game, and I'm standing at first base, and I hear from behind me, "Hey, Berger, what's a guy from Alabama doing here?" And I turned around, it was Mazeroski. And I had a smile bigger than the Monongahela River. I just couldn't believe it. And he came up, he introduced himself to me like that's something he had to do, and said hello to me. And, you know, to me, my whole week was basically made in that 45 seconds. It was just wonderful.
I imagine the player coaches that they have, the old veterans they have come down, they're predisposed to being people. You're not going to bring in, like, some surly guy who's going to sit around and not talk to people. So did you finally get a comfort level to approach these people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Actually, Bill Verdon was actually my manager of my very first Pirate Camp team. And, you know, Verdon was basically John Wayne tough. You know, you still look like you can light a match on his face. You know, he's that type of guy, but just an absolute gentleman. And, you know, Verdon, of course, managed four teams. He managed the Expos and the Pirates, and he managed the Yankees and the Astros. As a matter of fact, I'm sure you know this, but Bill Verdon managed the Yankees for 2 years, and he's the only guy that never managed a game in Yankee Stadium. I mean, that's the years they played at Shea, and he was an absolute gentleman. You know, obviously some of the guys that come to the lounge at night, I mean, that enjoy a cocktail, are a little bit more open, a little bit more friendly, especially once the booze begins to pour a little bit. But I mean, these are all people. I mean, they're all very, very personable. Sometimes you'll have a little bit of a language barrier with the Hispanic guys. As a matter of fact, this past January at Pirate Camp, I played for Rennie Sten and Omar Moreno, and they start talking Spanish and looking at you. That's not good. No, that's just not good. And I finally said to them, "Guys, if I suck, tell me, I can take it." But you remember something. I mean, these guys are all past their prime. I mean, you know, once they were heroes, they were the demigods, but they're past their prime. And they enjoy the interaction with the campers, and they enjoy telling stories just as much as we enjoy listening to it. So the camaraderie for a week at Fantasy Baseball Camp is exactly what you think it would be. It'd be guys like me, wannabes and never wers, guys that were over the hill, guys that never wanted to let that dream die, basically paired up with our heroes for 1 week in a congenial setting, and we're going out and playing baseball. And to me, it's the best of all worlds.
Now, you mentioned that you were at it was still three camps, the Pirates, Yankees, and Tigers?
And Tigers, yes.
Okay. And you say the Tigers were a throwaway. What do you mean by that?
Well, after I got done in 2010 with the Pirates, I was addicted. I knew I wanted to do this again. The Pirate Camp in 2011 basically conflicted with my real life. And there was something about the Yankee Camp being $5,000 and just it being the Yankees that I wasn't sure that I was ready to step up and do. So I tried to find a camp that fit that next January. It was the Tigers Camp, which actually is the oldest of all the Major League Fantasy camps. They're going, I think, on 23 or 24 years, price-wise, was very, very reasonable in comparison. I had a guy that wanted to go with me, so we went. Neither one of us were Tiger fans. You know, neither one of us had that great affiliation with the Tigers. Willie Horton was there, and Frank Tanana, Darrell Evans, and Al Kaline. And if you're a Tiger fan, I mean, these guys, again, were bigger than life. But for us, we just wanted to go play ball. Unfortunately, it rained most of the week. So, you know, it's one of those things that you just kind of, you try to fit 2 pounds of bologna in a one-pound bag, and you just knew it wasn't going to work, and it didn't work. But there was nothing about that week that basically tempered my enthusiasm or my excitement for basically doing fantasy camp again. And finally, I got to the point where I actually did get to the Yankees.
And, okay, I also went to a Yankee camp, so that's the only experience I have, and I know how wonderful that was. Compare the Yankee experience to the Pirate experience.
It was two different experiences for me, but they were both wonderful. I mean, I'm a Yankee guy now, so, you know, walking into the locker room at Steinbrenner Field and seeing the freeze in the clubhouse, the same type of freeze you have at Yankee Stadium, and to me, one of the best walks, maybe the best walk I ever made other than seeing my kids born, was basically walking through the tunnel from the clubhouse at Steinbrenner Field out onto the stadium, to the actual stadium, and just that green expanse, and seeing the 10,000 empty seats, and just being there with pinstripes and having the pinstripes on, and you know, being around guys like Guidry and Tony Kubek and Mickey Rivers, Bucky Dent, Chris Chambliss, David Wells, Al Downing, El Duque. You know, it went on and on and on. And you know, the Yankees is pretty demanding. You play a lot of baseball. You basically play 4 9-inning doubleheaders in a row. You play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and that's pretty taxing on the 30 and 40 year old guys. Never mind the guys that are in their 50s and 60s. You know, the Pirate camp, you actually stay on the ground. You stay in Pirate City. You can't help but interact with the ball players and obviously the campers the entire day. While the Yankees, you're staying at a nearby hotel. The Pirates is a little bit easier on you. You play 7-inning games. You play about 7 of them. But the experience, they both run very, very well. The experience is one and the same. It's really where your affiliation was. And, you know, I'm caught up once again in the Pirates. I really am. But putting on the pinstripes and, you know, being around these guys that obviously you idolized even as you were getting older in the 70s and 80s, it's just a wonderful experience. And, you know, if you're of that ilk in life where basically professionally you're on the back nine of your career, you've got some disposable income, you know, the Yankees about $5,000 for the week, the Pirates about $4,000 for the week. But I guarantee you, if you're a baseball guy and you were a baseball guy growing up in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, it's a week and an experience that you never, ever will forget. And that really was the catalyst for the book called The Most Wonderful Week of the Year. I just wanted to share my experience with people that I know will never be able to do this, either for physical reasons or financial reasons or schedule reasons. And so I wrote The Most Wonderful Week of the Year, and basically the message was never let that dream die, because I didn't. I became a Major League ballplayer 50 years after I thought I would be a Major League ballplayer.
Now, do you play recreational baseball?
Nope.
No, I basically do it. No, like all you haven't played in how many years before you did?
Oh, God, I basically was told in 1968 that I was not welcome on my varsity high school baseball team. I was basically told that you'd make the team, but the problem is you don't have any talent or ability. So the last time I picked up a baseball was in 1968 before I did it in 2010, and I'm a lot smarter right now. I mean, since that 2010 experience, I now train. I actually work out with a coach about 4 or 5 times before camp, but more importantly, I stretch. You know, I do the hamstrings, I do the ligaments. I'm in pretty good shape, pretty good baseball shape for a guy that will be 62 years old next month. And the story I like to tell, and it's happened at every camp, and you saw it too, is the first day of camp, the line for the breakfast buffet goes out the door. The second day of camp, walk up and get anything you want to eat, because the line for the training room wraps around the building.
And they I don't know about the other camps, but I remember them telling us at Yankee camp, you know, start off slow and then taper off.
That's exactly what John Warden told us with the Tiger camp. His mantra was start slow and taper off, and he's right. And, you know, you get these guys the very first day that haven't done anything physically for 30 or 35 years, and they're running full out to first base, they're doing this, they're doing that, and they're done for the week. And, you know, one of my dreams was to basically be a Yankee with my brother, and I did in January 2013, and the very first game we played, my brother was 4 for 4. His second at-bat in the second game, he basically popped a muscle, and he was done the rest of the week. And, you know, you see it happen all the time. So, listen, I'm slow. I'm the perfect first baseman. I'm tall, left-handed, and slow. So the bottom line is when I hit the ball, and I've had a reasonable amount of success in hitting the ball, I ain't in any rush to get anywhere. You know, if I get to first, that's great. If I don't, oh, well, you know, what are you going to do? It's not going to cost me a shoe endorsement.
Well, that's a great attitude, because I know some in the camp I attended, there was one team that came down together. I don't know if they were at one you were attended, but they came down together. They were undefeated for the whole season. These were like, I don't know what the minimum age you have to be. It might be 35. They were the minimum age, basically. They were, I think, all under 45. And they just, you know, it was kind of like not enjoyable. Maybe they played together as a unit back where they come from. I don't know. But
we had the same, yeah. As a matter of fact, the difference, what the Yankees do is the Yankees allow you to kind of package your teams. Mm-hmm. The Pirates don't. The Pirates basically play an evaluation game, and then all the coaches go into a room during the lunch hour, and there's an actual draft. I got a feeling the draft's a little bit like the WWE, where most of the stuff is prearranged, but after lunch, they will actually post a list of who's on what team. And what the Pirates try to do is they try to balance it, and they also try to favor your position. So I'm a first baseman. With the way the Yankees do things, I run the risk of having four first basemen on the same team because they don't take positions into account, and all of us are unhappy. The Pirates at least try to spread the positions around a little bit, and I really do like the way they do it. You play an evaluation game, you go through the motions, they put you together in a draft, and then you begin league play. So unlike the situation you had with the Yankees, and I've seen with the Yankees a couple times too, you know, there really aren't any dynamo teams. I mean, everybody is supposed to be pretty equal. It plays itself out through the course of the week, but they do the matchups much better.
Yeah, I know when I came down there, we were basically, my team was composed of it's like, you know, the kids that nobody wanted to pick.
You had the leftovers. Yeah, right. You had the leftovers, and me too.
And
yeah.
The coach said that he told us afterwards. I mean, our coaches were Roy White and Ron Shelton, who is not the director of Bull Durham, as I had hoped, but a minor league Yankee instructor, and they were kind of like off to the side. I know they were not, you know, they were just, well, maybe we'll win one game. So,
right.
But,
you know, well, you know, it's funny because – did you win one?
We were actually in second place.
Okay.
In our division. We were surprised everybody.
My first Yankee experience in 2012, I played for Homer Bush, who was a guy I never heard of, but a guy that I really like, and Oscar Gamble, who doesn't have the hair anymore. And I think we won three games. And then my Yankee experience last year was interesting because Jim Leyritz was one of our managers, Fritz Peterson, who turned out to be a wonderful, wonderful guy, and Oscar Gamble. And we won one game, but basically we had the leftovers, and that's the way they put us together, and it really isn't fair. And it really isn't competitive, but the bottom line is when you go to leave, you know, on that next Saturday or Sunday, who cares? You had a great week. But, you know, Fritz Peterson, come on. I mean, there's a guy back in the 70s that was legendary for all the wrong reasons, but is just an absolute gentleman.
Now, when did you decide to do the book? Did you go into your first camp thinking, I'm going to keep a journal and then turn it into a book, or was it
actually what I did? What I did was, my very first camp, I started blogging, and I blogged for a gentleman that was the travel editor for NBC at the time named Peter Greenberg, who's now actually the travel editor for CBS, and the blog ran nationally on a day-to-day basis, in addition to probably a list of 100 or 125 friends and colleagues. And after a year or two, people said to me, why don't you write a book, why don't you write a book, why don't you write a book? And I said, I'm not going to write a book, I'm not going to write a book, I'm not going to write a book. Well, of course, the book came out in January, and it was just, you know, something. I'm at the point of life right now where I had the time to do it. I'm an old journalism throwback. I never really got that out of my system. So I thought what I would do is basically it'd be a memoir. It'd be a satirical memoir to a certain degree of my experiences and basically being 50 years over the hills, but over the hill, but getting to live my dream and the inspiration, the baseball inspiration my dad had on me and hope I have on my kids. And, you know, I did it. And when you do these type of things, you know, you're not really doing it to make money. You're basically doing it for the experience and the exposure and just to kind of share the message. And I've done that. You know, if I don't write another one again, I'm very pleased with the way this one came out.
Will you continue to go to fantasy camp? Or you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Heck, yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. As long as physically I can do it, I'm definitely going to Pirate Camp again in January. And right now I'm deciding whether I want to go to Yankee Camp in November. But I will tell you the great part about the Pirates is coming up next month in May, they have a camp reunion where you actually get to play a game at PNC Park in Pittsburgh.
Oh, cool.
And that is really fun. I mean, you get to play 1 hour, which last year was five innings. You're on the big stage. You know, you're playing in front of the power washers and the stadium cleaners. But who cares? I mean, you're playing at 9 o'clock in the morning. You're in the big leagues. You're actually playing it at PNC Park. And, you know, I will train and get ready for that one-hour experience. But, yeah, I mean, I love it. And I've got the time to do it. And fortunately, I've got some disposable income to do it. I've got a wife that wants me to go as often as I can. That might be troublesome. I'm not sure. But she does. And it's a wonderful experience. And if you're a baseball guy and you're a baseball guy from the 50s and the 60s, I can't tell you how much you'd enjoy it.
And we've been speaking with Roy Berger, author of a wonderful book, The Most Wonderful Week of the Year. Roy, thank you very much.
Ron, my pleasure.
And that does it for this podcast edition of the Baseball Bookshelf. Our guest next time will be Dan Epstein, author of Stars and Strikes, Baseball in America in the Bicentennial Summer of 76. And be sure to tune in regularly, or visit regularly, I should say, Ron Kaplan's BaseballBookshelf.com for the latest news on baseball books and other ephemera. Don't forget our book contest. Be the fifth person to leave a comment during the week once I post what the new book will be, and you just might win that book. Cleans out my house, you get a book. It's a win-win. Thanks again, everybody. Talk to you soon.